You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Paul Kern.
Well, we want to welcome you to Christian Ministries Church. If you're joining us online, we want to welcome you. If you're listening by podcast months down the road, we're just believing this will be something that God specifically has for you. And I certainly want to welcome everyone here. Okay, can you guys believe it? And I know Eric, our stage host, mentioned this this morning, but Thanksgiving is, it's right here, right? It's right here. It's Thanksgiving time. And I love Thanksgiving time. For many reasons, but one of the big reasons that I like Thanksgiving is, come on, help me, food. Yes, the food. So I'm just going to name a few, right? So there's the staple, the what? The turkey and the dressing, right? Because they're like a married couple, right? They go together. And then the giblet gravy, that goes on top. And mashed potatoes. With more gravy, maybe not giblet. I mean, you could put giblet, you could put white gravy, brown gravy, whatever kind of gravy. You can mix the two together and make a swirl gravy or chocolate gravy. I don't know, whatever kind of gravy you want. Gravy's just good, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with gravy. There are people that don't like gravy. I don't understand you. I don't even know what to say about you. And then what about the sweet potato casserole? Yeah. Ooh. Now, my mom, now this is kind of an old school thing, so you guys listening online or the ones that are here with us, you tell me if you've experienced this. So my mom would make a different type of sweet potato. It was a candied sweet potato. So what she would do is she'd cut the sweet potato in slices, and she'd put it in a black iron skillet and put like two sticks of butter, and I remember lots and lots of white sugar, lots of brown sugar, and just cook it slow for all day, for hours. And literally what would happen is the sweet potato would candy. It turned into like a candy, and it's, you know, one bite was 5,000 calories and 250 grams of sugar. I mean, you know, and you were just, when you got done eating it, you were like, yeah! I mean, you felt great, right? But it was delicious. It was delicious. How many of y'all ever had candied sweet potatoes? Yeah, some of you. Yeah, all the younger ones are like, no, I don't know anything about that. And then, of course, you know, we called it the green rice casserole or the broccoli casserole. Yeah, one or the other. My family growing up, they always called it green rice, I guess because the broccoli was in there and it made it turn green, whatever. But that's good. I like that. What about rolls? Can't leave out the rolls. Butter, honey. Throw some of that on there, and corn on the cob, green beans, broccoli, you know, all the good stuff, the Jell-O thing. Yeah, the cranberry sauce, of course, but then you move into dessert. Sorry, I moved into desserts because that is what I'm thinking about right now. Chocolate pie, pecan pie, a la mode. With some ice cream on the side. I like to warm my pecan pie up. I like my pecan pie warm, and then a side of ice cream or some whipped cream on top and a cup of coffee. Oh, man, that just makes me happy. Cookies, all kinds of cookies. Are you guys getting ready for Thanksgiving? Some of y'all getting ready. I'm about to get out of here right now. Lunch is calling my name. You know, it's a fun time for all of us to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I can't believe that it is almost here, and it is a national holiday that we do take time, and it's recognized nationally. It's a holiday that we take time to give thanks. We give thanks to God for his blessings in our life. But 2020 has made it especially difficult for all of us to find that thankful attitude, has it not? And, you know, the fact of the matter is we don't even know what Thanksgiving is going to look like for many of us. Some are not going to celebrate with family because of what's going on in our country right now with COVID and all that's happening there. And just to mention the fact that with all the challenges that 2020 is bringing us, there's all other kinds of challenges that are happening right now. I mean, we've got pandemics and social unrest and political things going on. There's all kinds of stuff happening right now. It's been a very challenging year. No denying, it's been a season of stretching for all of us in 2020. Hopefully 2021 will be a better year. I don't know if it will be or not, but we're definitely praying and hoping that it will be a better year. But I want to put some things in perspective today. And I think this is a very important message that I have for our church. I have entitled it Thankful, and it's a play on words, thankful, because we need to be full of thanks. And I want to put a little bit of perspective. You know, our nation has faced many dark, difficult days through the history of our country. The church has faced a lot of difficult days and a lot of persecution throughout the history of the church. This is not anything new to our world. Many generations from times past have faced challenges, even more difficult challenges than what we are facing presently right now at this time. And that's not to make light of what we're facing, because it has been hard. But when it comes to the challenge of being thankful, the problem isn't so much with what we are facing as a nation or as individuals as it is with our attitude toward what we're facing. Now, this can be kind of a cliche message because, you know, we tend to hear, okay, you know, you got to, you know, get the right attitude about things. I've heard this before. But whether or not you've heard it before, the reason you've heard it before is because it's so powerful and true. How we deal with the things that we face each and every day is vital for all of us. The real challenge isn't how we respond to the challenges that we're facing in our country today. It's tempting to fall into the trap. If my circumstances were different, Paul, I would be content. If I had this, I would be happy. If I lived here, things would be better. If I didn't have this boss to deal with, if this coworker was just, if my family. So we all are tempted to say that if our circumstances were different, then we would be happy and fulfilled. But the fact of the matter is, church, circumstances will be something that controls your life if you're going to determine your happiness, your contentment, and your thankfulness upon the circumstances. Because they're constantly in flux and they're constantly changing. Can I have an amen? They're always changing. Nothing stays the same. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be times that there are Republicans in office, and there's going to be times that there's Democrats in office. There's always going to be changing seasons in life. Favorable, unfavorable moments. But Jesus set us up for this, did he not? Didn't Jesus in his word prepare all of us for the experiences that we were going to face in this life? As a matter of fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, here's what Jesus said. I have told you these things, now listen to this, so that in me, say that with me, in me, say it again, in me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not in your current circumstances. Not in what you have or what you don't have. Not in what is going on in your life right now, what's happening in our nation right now. He said, I've told you these things that you may have peace. And listen to this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have it. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. See, many people fall into the trap of being unthankful and unhappy because they've allowed the wrong perspective to dominate their thinking. And so today I really want to challenge all of us in what we're allowing our minds to meditate on, what we're allowing our hearts to come into our life. What's the current and the stream of our emotions right now? How are we allowing things that are happening in 2020 affect us? See, too many people live unsatisfied because of what they don't have, or what they wished they had, or what they wished was different in their current circumstances. Instead of developing an overall attitude of contentment and thankfulness, they base all that upon what's presently happening in their life at this current time. My life, my challenges, my needs, my wants, my personal struggles, my test. It's a real trap of the enemy. The devil wants to make us so inwardly focused and make everything so much about trying to make our flesh content. Listen, I got news for you. You're never going to make the flesh content. You know, I've eaten 100 meals, and my flesh always wants another one in just a few hours. It's never satisfied. Doesn't matter how much I feed it, it wants to eat again. That's the nature of the carnal life. That's the nature of the temporal realm that we live in. See, the problem with taking on a mindset of my challenges, my needs, my wants, my personal interest, my personal life, my personal test is you're only going to feel more empty and unhappy by taking that approach. You know, I tell our young adults often in our internship that the trick that the enemy wants to play on you is that if my circumstances were just a little different, you know, if I wasn't born into this family, or if I had this set of friends, or if I had this car to drive, or if I had this job, or if I was just 2 inches taller or 2 inches shorter, if I wasn't so skinny, or if I wasn't so overweight or whatever, it's the trick of the enemy trying to make us so unfulfilled and unhappy. And they're really good at playing commercials to make us not like what we want. I mean, no sooner than you get that new phone, I mean, in 3 months, they're talking about the next version that's coming out. And oh, yeah, you know, and it's got this much better, and you got to get this. And don't forget, you're going to miss out on that if you don't get this. And that's just what they do. And so this attitude causes you to live unthankful, empty, unhappy. But see, the scripture gives us a recipe, and the Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, I have learned the secret to life. I have learned how to live with a lot and be content, and I have learned to live with very little and be content. I've been hungry and I've been full. I've been cold and I've been comfortable. I've gone through all kinds of things, but I have learned the secret of contentment, and that secret is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, our pastor Josh preached last Sunday, and if you didn't get to hear it, man, it's just an incredible message, and it had so much truth and impact to it as he talked about Jesus in your life and Jesus living inside of you. But see, that attitude causes you to live thankful. That attitude causes you to live grateful. God, I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my job. God, I'm thankful for the blessings that you have given me in my life. I'm thankful for my family, in-laws and outlaws. We all got both. I'm thankful for all of them, God, even though some are a little more challenging than others. And you may be one of those outlaws to one of your in-laws. I don't know. You know how that works. I'm probably am. God, I'm thankful for the vehicle that you've given me, even though it's not new, even though it's not necessarily what I want. At least it gets me down the road. It gets me, well, most of the time, gets me to where I want to go, right? It's better than walking or riding a horse. See, it's all about in our perspective. I want to encourage our church to train yourself to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of being thankful. And it's very important. We have to train ourselves to do that. In the morning, when your feet hit the floor, God, I'm thankful for this day. God, I'm grateful to you for your blessings in my life. God, thank you for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me in my past. God, thank you for saving me. Come on, church. Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for delivering me out of the darkness that I was in. Thank you for making me a child of God, for giving me a future, for giving me a hope. God, I was lost, but now I'm found. Thank you, God. See, we start our day out this way. So easy to get caught in the trap of feeling sorry for yourself, especially during the holidays. And I don't want to make light of that because, you know, there are people who are facing hard things. There's people who have lost their spouses. They've lost loved ones. Maybe your family lives way, way far away, or maybe you're older in life and your children have all gone on and done different things in life, and now here you are. I don't want to make light of that, but here's what I want you to understand. The enemy would love nothing more than getting us into a big pity party so that we miss out on the goodness and the awesomeness of God's love and blessings in our life. It's such a trick of the devil. I want to encourage our church to cultivate a heart that is thankful. Full. Full. Train yourself to be thankful. Thank God for all that he's done instead of focusing on what you feel like he should have done. Thank God for what he's done instead of giving God a list of all the things that you don't have yet. See, train yourself this way. I challenge you every day when you wake up, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I always try to remind myself that no matter how big my problems are, there are other people that even have bigger problems. You know, I think perspective is a very important thing. I thank God for the health that I do have. I thank God for the family that I do have. I thank God for the job that I do have. I think about other people and things that they're facing, and that causes me to be thankful. And guess what? It also causes me to pray. Pray for those people that have those needs in their life. From time to time, I get a text from my son, Cole, appreciating me. You know, and that always blesses me when I get a text from my son. He's 23 years old. He's in college. And you know, guys aren't the best texters in the world anyway. You moms know what I'm talking about, you know, you parents. And so, you know, when I get one of those texts of, Dad, I appreciate it. Now, it's usually when I help pay his rent or help make a college bill or send him some money for food, right? But there are those times where just out of nowhere, just out of the blue, I'll get one of those really heartfelt expressions of gratitude. And, you know, we train our kids when they're young to grow up to be grateful. And then when they actually are, you're like, praise the Lord. I mean, awesome, right? And I'll tell you, you know, when my son does that as a father, man, it really moves me. It really impacts me. It really blesses me. And I don't know about you, if you're a parent in the room and your child does something like that, it just makes you want to what? It just makes you want to bless them more. Man, when they're grateful, when they're appreciative, when they really express that attitude of gratitude, it just makes you want to do more for them. It just makes you want to bless them more. And I really believe that our Heavenly Father Church is a lot like that. You know, when we express to God, our Father, a grateful attitude, I think it just makes God want to bless us all that much more. Can I have an amen? God told Abraham that I've blessed you so that you can be, help me, a blessing. Abraham, I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. See, when we respond with thankful hearts, it demonstrates to God that we're mature enough to handle greater blessings. You know, if I give my son, when he was little, a dollar so that he could get a candy bar and a Coke, I would say to him, now you tell Dad thank you. My wife and I, when we would take our children out to eat at restaurants, when we were done and we got in the car, we would say, what do you say? And they would say, thank you, thank you. And we would even have people tell us, you know, you have to tell your kids to say thank you. And I said, yeah, you have to teach children to be thankful. You have to be trained to be thankful. And even as we get older, we have to continually train ourselves to be thankful. But here's the thing, church, once again, when we give those blessings and we respond with a mature attitude of thankfulness, then that just lets God know that we're mature enough for greater blessings. We're mature enough that God can give us even more. Does that make sense? See, God wants us to express our blessings through actions. So we express it with words, and that's important. We appreciate people. We thank God. We do that through words. But we also express it through actions. We express it through doing things, not just only saying things. See, God, I want to show you and express to you my attitude of gratitude and thankfulness by blessing other people, by doing things for other people. And I think that is so much of what the holiday season is about. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he what? Help me. He gave. He gave his only son. See, God so loved that he gave. Love expressed through giving. That's what it's all about. Thanks, what? Giving. See, it's two words that are combined together. Thanks and giving. The two go hand in hand. You can't separate them. You show your thanks by, help me, giving. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. You know, as we enter Christmas and Thanksgiving season, I encourage you to reach out past your own needs and look to the needs of other people. You know, it's really interesting. I've heard this story several years ago, and it's kind of crazy the way this works. But have y'all ever heard the story about trapping monkeys, how they trap monkeys? Yeah, it's really interesting. So what they would do is they would take a barrel, and they would fill the barrel full of bananas, because we all know monkeys like bananas. So they'd fill the barrel full of bananas, they put a lid on it, and they would cut a hole in the side of the barrel just big enough for the monkey to get his hand and his arm into the barrel to get to the bananas. And so the monkey would literally stick his hand in through the barrel, grab the banana, and when he went to pull it out, he couldn't get it out. There was only enough room for his hand and his arm to pass through the hole. And so the hunters literally would just come, and the monkey would be standing there at the barrel holding the banana, and they would capture him because they were unwilling to let go this clenched fist of the banana that they had in their hand. And many people live like that today, both hands clenched. Listen, it's hard for God to put his blessings in a clenched fist. We got to live open-handed, open-hearted, thankful, giving, so focused on trying to hold on to what we have, to get more of what we want, we miss the blessings that God wants to bless us with daily. The greatest blessing in life is blessing other people. There's nothing more fulfilling than blessing other people. It feels amazing. It's awesome when you bless other people. And I appreciate people who do that for other people. And it's easy. A text, a phone call, a get-together, lunch. I mean, just expressing a card, serving, being involved. See, many, many people are out there, and they need to be ministered to, they need to be touched, and they need to be helped. When I was first starting out here in our ministry, I graduated out of our internship, and there was an elderly woman that went to our church. Some of y'all will remember her. Her name was Miss Birdie Johnson. And Miss Birdie Johnson had what she called basically a Birdie's boot camp. She had a house. She lived just down the road here, and she would have young men that would come and stay in her home, and it was called Birdie's Boot Camp. She had a couple of bedrooms, and you would live there, and you would help with things around the house, and she didn't charge very much, but she was real instrumental in the beginnings of our church. As a matter of fact, Hetty Lou Brooks and her husband Don, who started our church, Miss Birdie was one of the matriarchs who really pushed Hetty to start having church out of her home. So she really played a key role here. I ended up living with her. As a matter of fact, there wasn't any room. Both rooms in the house were taken. And I asked her if I could stay out in the laundry room. So I lived out in the laundry room on a couch where the washer and dryer was. And she would always say she knew I was going somewhere because I was willing to stay out in the laundry room where the washer and dryer was. And so, you know, I stayed out there, and there were always all kinds of interesting moments and experiences because she was born so long ago and just grew up in a completely different culture than what I grew up in. You know, no electricity, no running water when she was younger. And it was just, you know, interesting to hear all of her stories and the challenges that she faced. And she'd always teach me these little lessons. And one particular one that applies to what I'm talking about here today, and I've really never forgotten it. She said, Paul, let me tell you something. She said, here's what I know. If you'll take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. And you know, that just always stuck with me. If you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. And I took that statement seriously. And so when I graduated, like I said, I lived here. I went to do air conditioning, refrigeration. That's what I was doing before I moved here. But I was always very involved in our church. And so I would just come. You know, I wasn't on staff. I was just a member here at church, just like many of you are. But I would volunteer my time. And I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to teach. I didn't know how to do any of those things. I'd never done really any of that hardly at all. And so I would come and I'd pick up, you know, the gum wrappers or the gum that people stuck on the bottom of the seats. I'd take my pocket knife. You always carry a pocket knife just for that reason. You'd scrape that off of there and clean that up. I'd go around changing light bulbs on the campus outside. I'd go buy some and, you know, I'd see one out. I would change them. Or I'd go around the flower beds and pull weeds out of the flower beds. You know, that was my part. That was what I was able to do and do my part. So I took that statement very seriously about serving, about making God's house a priority, about giving back, about being thankful. I was passionate about that because that was my way of expressing to God how thankful I was to Him that He had saved me from the darkness and the broken home and the alcoholism and the drugs and all the things that God brought me out of. That was my way of expressing gratitude and thankfulness to God by coming and serving. In your life, how do you express your gratitude to God? Not just in words only, but how do you express your gratitude through your actions? So you determine that you're going to be a giver and not a taker. You're going to be a contributor and not one that's just consuming everything. You've heard that the leadership in our church several times mentioned different needs that we have in our church. You know, Tori's gotten up here and talked about kids' church, and Josh has talked about youth group. We've mentioned about lights and cameras and running words and sound and, you know, running a coffee shop and greeting people. We have many, many needs here in our church, all kinds of areas that people can get plugged in and they can serve and they can give. Now, here's what I've discovered, church. Good decisions are often relatively easy to make. Good decisions, they're not that hard to make. But our best decisions, they're often pretty difficult to make. And oftentimes, it's in taking that step of self-sacrifice. Well, I got to get up early. That's going to run into my schedule. It's going to take up more of my time. But see, we understand the Bible says it's in giving that you receive. It's in being a blessing that God can bless you. In Matthew 16:24, here's what Jesus, our master, said. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Follow me daily. Jesus also said, my food is to serve God. My food is to please the Father. My food is to do the will of my Father in heaven. Now, that's a different kind of nourishment. We're talking about great food that we're going to be eating at Thanksgiving, but that's a different kind of food that Jesus is talking about. And it's one that caused Jesus' disciples to take notice, and it's certainly one that ought to cause us today to take notice also. Listen, when you sow good seeds, you can always know a harvest will come back to you. It's very clear in the scripture. It'll always happen. I look at my time here at Christian Ministries and all of the time that I've served and I've given and I've helped. It's always come back to me every single time. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, it says this, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now listen, that is the fruit of our lips, right? Giving thanks, appreciating God, telling him that we're grateful, but then it goes on. Verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. See, God not only wants us to express our thankfulness out of our lips, but God also wants to express our thankfulness through our service, through our giving. And I want you to notice it says, it is a sacrifice of praise. In other words, it costs you something. You know, in the Old Testament, they would bring their sacrifices. And God said to bring your first and to bring your best. Don't bring some sickly little thing that you don't want anyway. No, you bring your first, you bring your best. You give it to God. See, that's a sacrifice. It kind of hurts a little bit to have to get up early. It hurts a little bit to come serve. You know, I think about our worship team. They're up early. On Wednesday nights, they come early. They're here at 5:30 in our midweek service, and they don't leave here till after 9 o'clock. You know why? Because they're practicing for Sunday. That's a sacrifice of praise. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the people who serve and sacrifice and give in our church. See, God wants us to express our thankfulness and our praise by thanking Him, but He also wants us to do it by passing it along, by passing it along, by passing it along. You know, living with Miss Birdie, and she had a little notebook that she had names of all these young men that stayed in her home. There were several pages of young men over the many years that had stayed in her home, and I was one of many. And during my time there, I thought to myself, you know, one day I'm going to do that. One day when I get married and I have a home, I'm going to open up my home to young people, and I'm going to allow them to come into our home, and we're going to help invest in them and train them and develop them. You know, my wife and Angela and I, we've had, probably 7, 8, 9 young men in our home stay with us for a year or maybe even almost 2 sometimes in our homes, and we invest into them, we mentor, we train, we help them with finances, we do things. See, I got a vision for giving back. I had people that gave into my life and blessed me and took time for me, and I thought, what a huge thing that was for me. And so I didn't want to just be a Christian who just took from God. I wanted to be a Christian who expressed my thanks to God. Now, that may not mean that you're going to have some young man or some woman live in your home. It possibly could. But there are many, many ways that we can express to God our gratitude and our thankfulness by not only giving Him lip service, God, I thank You and I praise You and I honor You, and I think that's so important that we do that. But I think the fact that we even go above and beyond that by showing God our gratitude and our thankfulness by being a blessing to other people and by being a blessing to His church. Can I have an amen? I think that's what pleases God. I think that's what God expects of all of us. This season, we're entering into Thanksgiving, going into Christmas. It's been a challenging year. I don't even know what they're going to look like. But here's what I do know. God's called me to be thankful. God's called me to be grateful. And I'm not just thanking God for what God has done, although I could thank God for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months and years and years and years for all that He's done for me. And I'm not even thanking God for what He's going to do, because God's going to do more, because that's just the kind of God that we serve. But here's why I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God because of who He is. The position that God holds in my life, that faithful Father, that loving Savior, that grace-giving God, that person who is that anchor point in my life, who is always the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one that I can always count on, I'm giving God thanks because of that. And as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, I want to encourage you to be a believer that does the same. Amen? Y'all stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. I just want to take just a few minutes before we dismiss. As we close our time together, let's just take a moment just to reflect here. You as an individual, just, you know, forget that there's a person to the left of you, a person to the right of you. Forget what you got planned after church. Just for a moment, just focus your mind and ask yourself, do I live with a heart that is thankful? full. Every eye closed, we're just praying. We're just talking to God. Do you express thankfulness through your attitude? Do you express thankfulness through your words, through your actions? When's the last time that you prayed and you didn't give God a list of things that you need or you want, but you just thanked God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he's going to do, and who he is in your life? Like I said when I started, it's easy to express a heart of thankfulness when we get a raise, when everything seems to be going our way, when we're not facing any challenges. But what happens when you have a 2020 year? I want to encourage our church, don't allow this year to cause you to lose clarity and focus from what's important. Hebrews says that we offer a sacrifice of praise. And God, today, we know that our world is in turmoil. We know that things aren't going the way that we would like them to. But God, we know that you're God. You're the great and awesome creator of the universe. You are God who is worthy of our praise. And Lord, today, we celebrate you. And this year, we celebrate Thanksgiving by having thankful hearts. And God, we're going to express that by giving back, by serving, by loving, by sharing in your goodness. Father, we ask that you go before us this week. Help us to be a blessing. And God, when our feet hit the floor each day, help us to wake up having the right perspective, having the right attitude, giving you thanks and giving you praise in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.